Let's pray as we begin. Lord God, and direct in our time together as we look into your word. May your word speak to us. Help us to make decisions for you today. God, and direct, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Israel in Jesus' day. Israel in Jesus' day, there were political parties. And let me clarify that. There were political religious parties. So it was politics and religion together. But they were political. We've got political parties in our day, a little bit different than the first century. I'm going to talk about the parties and not everything they believed, but what they believed as it regards Rome. The Essenes, they withdrew as a party. And they just wanted the Messiah to come back. They withdrew and waited for the Messiah to come to free Israel from Rome. The Sadducees, they practiced cooperation with Rome to secure their positions. Hey, we've got a little power, so we better cooperate with the rulers. The Pharisees, they condemned Rome, but they removed themselves from politics. The Pharisees thought that Rome was God's hand of punishment on Israel for their disobedience. Now, Josephus, a first century historian, he said there was a fourth wheel. He said there was a fourth political religious party in first century Israel. And that fourth wheel in Israel, they were the Zealots. And Josephus called them the dagger men because they carried out assassinations to get their purpose across. The Zealots, we believe they were a third wheel. They were a third philosophy. They were a fourth wheel, a fourth philosophy in Israel. And we believe they started in Acts chapter 5. At least that's where the reference is. So Acts chapter 5, would you turn there? Verse 36 and verse 37. Acts chapter 5, verse 36. And we'll read verse 37. For some time ago, Theudas rose up, claiming to be somebody. A number of men, about 400, joined him. He was slain, and all who obeyed him were scattered and came to nothing. After this man, Judas of Galilee, not any of the Judases we know. Judas was a popular name in first century. So none of the Judases that we know. Judas of Galilee rose up in the days of the census, and drew away many people after him. He also perished, and all who obeyed him were dispersed. In Acts chapter 5, the disciples had been preaching about Jesus in the streets of Jerusalem and in the temple. And they were preaching about Jesus, and they were arrested for what they were doing. They were arrested for what they believed. Something to think about. That day may come in our country. What are you going to do? What are you going to do when they tell you that you cannot believe in this book and the principles of this book? What will you do? In Acts chapter 5, the Sanhedrin, the Jewish ruling council, was trying to decide what to do with these disciples who are preaching about Jesus in the temple and in Jerusalem. One man stood up in the Sanhedrin. His name was Gamaliel, and you can read that in Acts 5. He is the rabbi of rabbis. And so everybody is going to listen to Gamaliel. And he says this, "We've heard of and seen uprisings before." Look at verse 36. "Remember Theudas, and remember that rebel Judas the Galilean." Look at verse 37. "Judas of Galilee, in the days of the taxing, he drew away many people after him, and he also perished, and all, even as many as obeyed him, were dispersed." So the religious leaders, with Gamaliel as the voice of them, he's saying, you know this Jesus that the disciples are preaching about? He's just one in a line of one of these rebels. He's just one who has gathered together those who would try to overthrow Rome. It's not going to work. Thutis died. Judas of Galilee died. It doesn't work. And Jesus may be just one of these rebels. One in a line of many. By the way, what do you believe about Jesus? You better know. We're coming to a day in our country where you better know what you believe about Jesus. Are you prepared to say, I believe Jesus was virgin born? Are you prepared to look up in the Bible and show someone? Are you prepared to show someone that Jesus lived a perfect life, that he died on the cross? Can you open the Bible and show where he walked out of a cold, dark tomb on the third day? We need to know the truth, amen, about who Jesus is. Go back to Acts 5. Look at Acts 5, 37. Acts chapter 5 and verse 37. So after this man, Judas of Galilee, rose up in the days of the census. We believe this is AD 6. Jesus was about 10 years old when Judas of Galilee rose up as a zealot, rose up and tried to gather people politically around him to overthrow the Roman rule of Israel. And this is where we believe, historians believe, the zealots began. This political group called the zealots began with Judas of Galilee. The zealots, they were so passionate. They were so full of zeal for their political persuasions. They believed in armed rebellion, swords if need be, political uprise, political revolution, change by all and any means. Unfortunately, we hear whispers of that in our country, don't we? We hear whispers of that in our political parties and in this country in recent days. So the zealots, they were radical. They were passionate. They were political. They wanted change by the sword. They believed that Jehovah was the only king. No Caesar in Rome could rule over Israel. Who belonged to the zealots? Who belonged to this group that was so passionate, that was so full of zeal? We think Barabbas. We think Barabbas was a zealot. You remember Barabbas? Jesus was brought before Pilate. Matthew 27 says, Pilate said unto them, whom should I release to you? Barabbas or Jesus, who you call the Christ? They crucified Jesus. They released Barabbas, a murderer and a rebel. And he was a zealot. If he wasn't a part of the capital Z zealot political party, he was a small z zealot in the first century Israel in Jesus' day. The zealots, they were radical. They were passionate. They were political. They were a patriotic group, country above all. Who belonged to this group? Who belonged? Who had membership in this group? How about this person? A man chosen by Jesus. A man chosen by Jesus to be an apostle. Simon. Simon the Zealot. Look at the official designation of the apostles. Look at Luke chapter 6. Would you turn there? Luke chapter 6, starting in verse 13. Luke chapter 6, starting in verse 13. Jesus had prayed all night, Matthew tells us, and in the morning. Look at verse 13. It says, and when it was day, he called his disciples to himself. And from them he chose 12, whom he also named apostles. Simon, whom he also called Peter, Andrew his brother, James and John, Philip and Bartholomew, Matthew and Thomas, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon called the Zealot, Judas the son of James, and Judas Iscariot, who also became a traitor. Simon the Zealot was chosen as an apostle. And I ask you, how could it be? How is this possible? How could someone who was consumed with a political party, how could someone who said, country above all, that's my passion, that's my fervor, how could someone like that be a fisher of men? How could someone be devoted to Christ? How could Simon the Zealot be an apostle, a sent one from Christ, to turn the world upside down for Jesus and for his cause? Simon the Zealot, he was consumed with political ambition. He had extreme political leanings. How could he go into all the world and make disciples and teach them all things Jesus taught, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? How could Simon the Zealot, consumed by politics, heal in Jesus' name, encourage in Jesus' name, be a light that so shined before men that they saw his good works and glorified the Father in heaven? Simon the Zealot. Simon, who had been a part of a powerful political movement in his time. Let me tell you this. There's no evidence in the scripture, and as far as I know from church history, that after Jesus chose him, that he was a zealot. That after Jesus said, follow me, that he was a member anymore of that political group in Jesus' day. We know one important thing about Simon. We don't know a lot about him, but we know one important thing about Simon the Zealot, that he was an apostle of Jesus Christ, that he was a sent one from Jesus, and that's the record of Scripture. We know that Simon the Zealot was a believer in Jesus. We know that he healed and that he helped and that he lifted and that he preached in the name of Jesus. We know that Simon the Zealot was someone who carried out the Great Commission. Go ye therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. That was Simon. That was Simon the Zealot. That is the testimony of Scripture. And let me tell you this. When you see Simon the Zealot in heaven, when you see Simon the Zealot in heaven, you are not going to see Simon the Zealot, who is a part of a political party, country above all. You are going to see Simon, the devoted believer in Jesus. When you get there, you're going to see Simon, the one who had love for Jesus and his ways, passionate about him, about what his plan was for the world. Let me ask you this question. Who are you? Who are you? What is your tag? Now, Simon had the tag Simon the Zealot. He was tagged with this group that was very political, that was country above all, but from all we can tell from the scripture, his tag after Jesus said, follow me, was believer. Believer in Jesus. Apostle. The one who carried out the Great Commission. Who are you? What is your hashtag? What are you known for at work and in your family? What do people know you for? Is it this? There goes that Christian. They always talk about their faith. They talk about going to church. Every time something comes up, they've got a Bible verse. They've got to somehow bring this Bible into it. Is that how you're seen? Is that who you are? Who are you? What defines you? What is your tag after your name? What motivates you? What's your passion? Let me say this. We live in a strange time politically. I think we can all agree. We live in a very strange time politically. There is so much passion. There is so much passion for what people feel politically. There is so much feeling for what people think politically. I tell you, I don't know if I'm going to be 55 in December. I don't know if I've ever seen things the way they are today. For the first time in my life, I sense that people in the community may be treating me a certain way because of my perceived political leanings. Strong political feelings are seeping into every part of life, into the workplace. The Atlantic Journal had a survey some time ago about the workplace and workers and politics. 87% of them, workers, read political social media posts during the day. Nearly 50% report seeing a political conversation turn into an argument in the workplace. 29% of respondents say they've been less productive since the election. That was 2016. Politics. Strong feelings. Passion. It has made its way into, of all things, Halloween. Did you see it? Politics. It has made its way into football. Politics. Strong feelings for what people believe politically. It has saturated social media. And maybe after the sermon you'll defriend me. I don't know. Maybe you'll defriend me. I don't know. People in our world, I don't understand this. They're talking about violence. If the election doesn't turn out the right way, they're talking about violence in the streets. And I'll tell you what, it is so easy to get caught up in that whirlwind as Christians. It is so easy to get caught up in that emotion and that passion of what's going on in our country. It's so easy to take a side and to feel so strongly for a political candidate or a party. And don't get me wrong. Don't defriend me yet. Don't get me wrong. Every born-again Christian should be at the polls on Tuesday. Every Christian should vote for the most conservative candidate. You must do it this Tuesday. No Christian should vote for a candidate that supports abortion or homosexual rights. Christians should not be afraid to have a voice, to have a political opinion grounded in Judeo-Christian principles. We all have an opinion. Don't get me wrong. But at the end of the day, I want to be Simon the Zealot. I want to be Simon the Zealot after Christ said, "Follow me." Amen? That's where I want to be. Who are you today? What is your hashtag? What are you defined by? Who do people know you for? I have some pretty strong political views. I am passionate about what happens in this country. Don't get me wrong. I am concerned about Tuesday. We have special prayer because it's important. I am deeply disturbed about things that are happening in our country. Our whole family will be at the polling place on Tuesday. And I know many here are in the same place in life. But I hope people can say of me that I'm passionate about the souls of men. Amen? I am passionate about eternal things. I am not only passionate about this country, about the United States of America, but I'm even more passionate about the kingdom of God. Amen? The eternal kingdom of God. My eternal citizenship is not here. Philippians says, for our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. How about you? I deeply care about who's elected. Don't get me wrong. I care about what happens. I deeply care about who runs our country and the political direction of this country. But I know there's something bigger. I know there's something more eternal. I know there's something of the eternal souls of men that need to be won for Christ. And I want to be known. I want to be tagged, not with an R or a D or an L or any other political party. I want to be tagged. I want to be known above everything. Above everything else, as a follower of Jesus Christ. Amen? As a follower of Jesus. How about you? I've been reading my Bible through in a year. I'm a little bit ahead of the schedule. And I was in Acts, reading Acts chapter 1 this week. Turn there, would you? Acts chapter 1. And I was reading about what happened, the events of this chapter. Acts chapter 1, starting in verse 12. Acts 1 and verse 12. Then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey, verse 13. And when they had entered, they went up into the upper room where they were staying, Peter, James, John, Andrew, Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James, son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot. Simon the Zealot and Judas, the son of James, these all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. Jesus had just ascended into heaven. And Jesus had given the disciples this command. Look at verse 8. But you shall receive power, and after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. You shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem, in all Judea, and in Samaria, and into the uttermost part of the earth. The disciples left the Mount of Olives, and they went to the upper room where we believe the Lord's Supper took place. And they went into that upper room and they waited for the Holy Spirit and they prayed. And they waited and they prayed. And they waited and they prayed for the coming Holy Spirit. And one of those, look at verse 13, one of those who waited and prayed was Simon the Zealot. Simon the Zealot. We believe he was previously driven by political passions. And he was driven now by the passion of Jesus and Jesus' purposes. Simon the Zealot, he'll be known as the apostle who believed Jesus, who followed Jesus, who was devoted to Jesus above all. Who are you? How are you defined? What do people know you for? What is your passion? Anything and everything, even good things in our lives, can become our passion. Sports, a hobby, A passion to do something. It can take over even politics. Even politics. May we be known above everything else as Christians, as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, as citizens of an eternal kingdom not made with hands. May we be known as those who are waiting and praying, waiting and praying, waiting and praying for the soon return of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. That's what I'm doing. I know this world's messed up. I know this world may never be fixed, but I know Jesus is coming again. I know He's my Savior, and I know He'll make all things right. Would you bow your heads this morning? Would you bow your heads this morning? Would you whisper this simple prayer? Would you whisper this simple prayer this morning? Would you say to the Lord, just you and the Lord, above everything else, I am yours. Would you whisper that prayer to Jesus, just between you and the Lord? Above everything else, I am yours. Above everything else, I am yours. Would you talk to the Lord this morning? Above everything else, I am yours. Are you here today and you're not sure if you know Christ as Savior? I believe every person, young person, teen, adult, senior, you're all here on purpose. Maybe the purpose today is to trust Christ as Savior. Is there anyone here, you've never called upon the name of the Lord? Is there anyone? You slip up your hand and say, I'm not sure. Jesus paid for my sin. I'm not sure if I've asked Him to be my Savior. Is there anyone this morning? Lord, we come before You in Jesus' name. Our country is coming apart by the seams, it feels like. Now I pray, Lord God, in all of the passion and fervor, that they would see us as Christians and believers and devoted to You above everything in this world, we pray. We come before You this morning in Jesus' name. Amen.